Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres are back in San Diego, and we've got Jesse Agler hosting the show because he's much better in front of a microphone than he would be dealing with equipment as a producer or engineer.
You know how sometimes you get a piece of electronics that's not working, and you're driving yourself crazy? What's wrong with this thing? Why won't it turn on? And you realize it's not plugged in.
We're also joined by Kurt Bavacqua, and it's easy to see that he's happy to have the Padres back home for a homestand.
I can tell you got that little the Bavacqua grin going.
I have that little grin,
yeah.
I know.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Kurt Bavacqua.
Welcome to Padres Social Hour, presented by United. The boys are back at home.
They are. Thank goodness.
Don't ever, ever, ever let anybody tell you that Kurt Bavacqua does not have impeccable timing.
You have to have good timing if you're going to play the game or get into this business after you play the game.
I got to tell you, Blooper was very nervous here in the AMR studio. As of a moment ago, you weren't here. And he was very concerned. Hey, man, Friday traffic. You never know what's going on. We're on at a weird time today. And Blooper was concerned. And then, my goodness, the moment that the show open began to play, here comes Kurt Bavacqua strolling down the ramp right into the AMR studio.
Strolling with my heart pumping.
How you feeling? You all right?
I got stuff. I got stuff for you. I got geek stuff for you.
Fan graphics?
No.
Okay.
I went even deeper.
You went deeper than FanGraphs?
Yeah, which is hard.
All right, so you got a lot of information. Is this
well,
from the
I don't know if I have a lot of information.
Oh, okay.
But I have information on what we had talked about the last show, which was the last time the team won.
Yeah.
Incidentally.
Sure.
And about ground balls.
Yes. The ground ball rate.
So we're going to talk about that.
Way up this year, and I gave you a homework assignment.
You did.
I said, KB, when you come back, I would love to hear what you think about the ground ball rate all around Major League Baseball being as up as it is. And, all right, so we'll get to your thoughts on that in a little bit. Ian Kennedy is going to stop by next segment. We'll catch up with the Padres starting pitcher, who, as everybody knows, had an adventurous road trip for reasons that went well beyond baseball. So we'll catch up with Ian and talk to him about all of that. And it is a big weekend here. The Padres Hall of Fame inductions tomorrow. Gary Templeton and Benito Santiago will be inducted into the Padres Hall of Fame before tomorrow night's game. Before tonight's game, and this is part of the reason we're on early today, Dick Enberg will be honored by the Padres after he received the Ford C. Frick Award from the National Baseball Hall of Fame a couple of weekends ago in Cooperstown, New York. So a fun weekend to be around the ballpark. The Phillies are here, and despite the fact that they've got the worst record in all of baseball, and they do, they've got the best record in all of baseball since the All-Star break.
Which is amazing.
Explain that to me.
I don't know. It's hard to imagine that a team can go from as bad as they were to playing baseball as good as they've been playing lately, with the exception of yesterday and the day before, maybe.
They have lost two in a row. First time that's happened since
and
the
And I found out about Greinke. I found out how good he is.
With the home run yesterday?
Not just pitching. when he doesn't do well pitching, he just takes care of it himself.
Bat flip.
That's amazing.
So the Phillies were hosting Zach Greinke and the Dodgers yesterday, and of course he had the great scoreless inning streak that everybody was excited about. He gave up 5 runs in the first inning to the Phillies yesterday. The Dodgers come back and take a lead, and then he adds to it with a home run in the third inning. He went full bat flip on it as well. He enjoyed himself. He enjoyed the home run. It was his first of the year, and the Dodgers would end up going on to comfortably get past the Philadelphia Phillies. We've gotten some great production this season out of a guy that we got to hang out with a little bit last year, Jeff Francoeur. He's really settled in nicely for the Phillies this year. Look, you know the guy can play a right field, and he's hitting the ball really as well as he has in a couple of seasons. It's a great environment for a guy like that, you know, as far as the ballpark goes and the way it plays. And, I mean, this is a guy you love to see have success.
Exactly.
He's as good of a guy as you'll come across, and it's nice to see him, you know, really finding a good spot for himself this season in Philadelphia.
A guy that you really want to root for. Rooted for him really hard when he was here.
Yeah.
It just didn't quite work out for him, but it looks like it is in Philly.
It is.
He must like the fans there.
At least for hey,
or the cheesesteaks, one of the two.
Hey, Pats, Geno's, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's all good. No, if things are going well for a guy, that's a fun place to play. If things are not going well for a guy, it's a miserable place to play. And, you know, he's a very upbeat, smiley, you know, popular, charismatic dude. Jeff Francoeur. We saw that last year with the Padres' AAA affiliate in El Paso. He was like mayor of El Paso, you know, playing for that club. They were all over him, and then he did get the call to play, you know, with the Padres, and we saw him a little bit late in the season last year at the big league level. And I think he was only here once on our show. But what a great conversation. What a great guy. And so definitely very happy for Jeff Francoeur. We'll have to catch up with him at some point this weekend and say hi. I've not mentioned yesterday yet, and I feel like I have to. It's part of the story. It's part of the situation. But a discouraging loss to the Milwaukee Brewers to end the road trip. 10-1. You get two hits, one from Derek Norris, and then a solo homer from Melvin Upton Jr. against Matt Garza, who has not had a good season. And Matt Garza's got a lot of, you know, big league miles under his belt. Good veteran pitcher. You know, he's seen it all. He's done it all. But it's been a tough year for Matt Garza, and he looked masterful yesterday against the Padres. Dick Enberg, Mark Grant, they were talking about this a little bit at one point in the game yesterday. I'd love your take as a guy who played as a position player. Those long trips, particularly maybe in August and September, can they beat you down, you know, a little bit, just physically, the grind of it all when you get to that third city?
Absolutely they can. Yeah. Sure they can. But they shouldn't stop you from doing the little things. A long trip's a long trip. But when you get between the lines, fundamental baseball is the way games are won a lot of the times. And the games that the Padres lost on this last little stretch, there was a lot of fundamental baseball that wasn't done correctly. And you know what? I'm watching baseball over the weekend, and it wasn't just Padre games, although they stood out a little bit. I think it should be an error.
Are we getting into an official scoring conversation?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, how I love
I think it should be an
scoring
error.
Conversation.
If an outfielder misses the cutoff man, and the base runner that got the base hit proceeds to the next base because of that.
So normally we say the guy.
It shouldn't be an earned run for the pitcher.
Right. You want that off the pitcher.
Absolutely.
All right. I'll make a trade with you.
Go ahead.
You get that. But I want, if a pitcher makes an error, for it to still be an earned run. It's his own mistake.
That's true.
I mean, neither of these things will ever happen, by the way.
I kind of like that.
Yeah. No, I mean, I've always, since I was a little kid, I've wondered about that.
Yours might not happen.
Right.
The other one, if somebody sat down and thought about it, how else did the runner get to the next base?
No, I understand.
It makes no sense at all for it not to be an error.
You know what? I'm sure if Randy Jones were here or any other pitcher, they would love that. They would love that. They might not, an active guy might not admit to loving it because he's not going to want to throw a teammate under the bus. But if you talk to an old retired pitcher, he'd probably be like, yeah, you're exactly right. But then you get into a gray area as an official scorer.
You definitely get into a gray area. Or
like,
you could get into a gray area.
Did he miss the cutoff man, or did the cutoff man maybe? I don't know. There's is the cutoff man not in the right place? You know, because that happens sometimes. It's very easy to say the outfielder missed the cutoff man. It's not always as cut and dry as the guy airmailing it over the first baseman or whoever. Sometimes
yeah,
well,
we
other
have replay
happen.
Now.
Okay. You're putting a lot on the official scorer's plate.
That's why some of them should be replaced, maybe.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a whole other conversation. And one that we've had many times. They're great here, by the way, in all honesty.
That's true.
Does a great job here. But there are some places where it's a little bit dicey, a little bit shady. So your point being that, like, if the guy should be on first base, but he takes second on the throw because it goes over the cutoff man's head, it should be an error of some kind.
I
so
just,
therefore,
I watch
if that guy scores.
Made. Yes.
All right.
I watch through. Plus,
what
it
if
puts
the outfielder
the
is
in a precarious situation also.
Sure, you lose a force out, everything. But this is an interesting topic. What if, though, the outfielder has a legitimate shot at getting the guy at the plate? And, yeah, he puts it over the cutoff man, but it's a close play at the plate. And you could argue that was maybe then an okay thing to do.
So what you're trying to say is you think that a throw that goes all the way to home in the air gets there quicker than a ball that bounces.
It can bounce, but I'm saying if it misses the cutoff man but still gets to the plate in a moment where the catcher's got an opportunity to tag the guy out, that's different than if you just airmail the cutoff guy. The guy scores standing up, everybody moves up a base, and those are the really tough
ones.
That's
where the gray area comes in.
Yeah.
If a catcher's making a play, and he ignores the runner and the guy makes a good turn. He sees that the play's going through and that the catcher's going to make a play. If he proceeds on that play and the catcher tries to make a tag and the guy is safe, then it's a situation where I don't think it should be an error.
All right. This is a pretty nuanced deal you're getting into here.
It's just stuff that I think about
when I watch
the games.
This is like when you're in the shower in the morning. This is the kind of thing you think about.
Not at all.
Oh, okay. It's when you're watching the games.
I think about soap.
Soap, shampoo.
And shampoo.
Sure.
I don't think about
it. Do you shampoo your mustache?
Man.
How do we care for that? Because it is a beautiful thing. I mean, What's the I can't grow a mustache, so I've got no idea. It would take me 7 months to do like half of what you've got. So what's the process like for taking care of that thing?
Well, you certainly have to, you know, wash it.
Okay.
Just like you would.
But do you wash it like you wash your face,
but you don't
or
have
do you wash
to
it like you wash
the shampoo
your hair?
Thing.
You don't, okay.
No.
You have like a leave-in conditioner?
I just, as I wash my hair, I just kind of throw
brush
some.
Over it. Right.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, you've got one of the great mustaches in baseball history, so I figure who better to ask.
It is interesting, isn't it?
All right, we're off to a sensational start here on this Friday night. Over the course of the show, certainly Kurt's thoughts on Gary Templeton, a former teammate, Benito Santiago, as those guys will be inducted into the Padre Hall of Fame coming up before tomorrow night's game. They're here all weekend, and it should be a lot of fun. You got your Saturday night postgame show tomorrow night after the game. Who's going to be on with you?
Nate Colbert.
All right.
And I'm going to try to pull
one of those guys,
Benito and Tempe, by the arms and get them to just come in for a little while.
Sure, just visit.
Not the whole hour.
You're not going to put the pressure on them to co-host
but
the
Nate,
show.
But Nate Colbert's going to be here.
That's awesome. A member of the Padres Hall of Fame himself.
There's no telling who else might drop in.
Oh. Are you just saying that to say it, or you have like an inkling?
Oh, I have an inkling.
Oh, okay.
I always have an inkling.
Okay. Yeah, you're not, that's true. You're not one of those
I
guys.
I have a
just,
way with people.
You do. You're a great people person.
People just, they don't like being around me. So they do things that I ask them to do, so I'll get out of their hair.
Okay. That's your approach.
Exactly.
I like being around you.
But I've never asked you for too much.
No, that's true. That's true. You know, so if you wanted something, I wouldn't want to be around you is
exactly.
What you're saying. All right, hey, everybody's got their own way to do it. All right, so the Padres have now lost 3 in a row. The road trip goes to 5-5. I'd love to hear, you know, what people are feeling about this team right now. Kurt, you and everybody out there on Twitter can use the hashtag PadresSH. We've already got questions rolling in. Our buddy Cody is here. Marcus is participating. We'll get to those in a little bit. But, you know, yesterday a win means a 6-4 road trip. And anytime you go 6-4 over a 10-game stretch away from home, that's thumbs up. But it's not what this team needs right now. They can't be treading water. They can't be going .500 on a road trip or a homestand if they want to try and make that push towards the postseason. And obviously time is ticking and time is running out. And, you know, that 88 wins is a number we keep throwing out there. And at the trade deadline, we said, okay, means you got to go 39-21 down the stretch. And since we've said that, the Padres are 3-4. The Padres are 3-4. So as a player, what do you do today? Is this all right, hit the reset button back at home? What's the mental approach there?
Sure. As a player, you have to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, you hit the reset button every day. As soon as the game's over, you think about what happened. You go over things. If, in fact, things didn't work out the way you wanted them to, you go over certain pitchers that pitchers might have thrown that you weren't expecting as a hitter. But I got to tell you, the last three games have been very disappointing. I mean, they really have. I remember the last show you and I did. There was a lot of hope there.
Yeah.
There really was a lot of hope, and I'm talking about in years in my vibe as far as where the team was going and the prospects and the way they were playing and the great comeback in New York, the way things happened in that rain delay and the deadline coming and the ball club doing nothing with the exception of Abraham Almonte for the lefty.
Zepchinski.
You go ahead and do that. Yes, I let you see?
Yeah.
See, that's the way I work things.
Yeah,
you just jumped in and said his name, and you took
me
right out of there. Thank you. But, yeah, the last 3 days, and you know what? It kind of all started when the ball club had a chance to score in the eighth inning in the second game of the series against Milwaukee, and Melvin Upton had a double, and he was left at third base with 3 consecutive strikeouts. Ball's out of the strike zone, and – there are games you look back at, and that's going to be one. There's 4 or 5 others that I can think of right off the top of my head that I'll look back on and I'll say, those games right there were the turning point in the season. And I think that was one of them.
It was a tough moment. You were feeling good, unable to bring him home, and then kind of on top of it, the Brewers go out and they add 4 in the bottom of that inning.
And I don't think it would have ever happened if, in fact, something would have happened with either that one run or another run or two, or if things were done differently in that particular inning.
It's funny you say that because I think a lot of us have a tendency, and we're all guilty of it at one time or another, whether we're fans, broadcasters, media, just anybody. You have a tendency to be like, man, if this didn't happen, oh, we would have been right there because look what happened the rest of the game. But everything that happens impacts what comes after it.
Absolutely.
It's not as easy as saying as, and this goes back to your obsession with scoring first, scoring in the first inning. I know you love that deal. It's not just, hey, they got on the board. It's that they got on the board, and so the other team has changed their approach. And it's nothing happens in a vacuum in a baseball game, I guess. And, again, we all fall into that trap every once in a while and be like, man, if we would have scored there, well, it doesn't matter because the other team scored in the bottom of the inning. That might not have happened. Their approach would have changed. Things could have been different in the bottom half of the inning. I think that's an important point to bring up every once in a while.
You know, I just think it's things that you maybe as an average fan you really don't look that deeply into, but in my position and a lot of other people's and a lot of fans, by the way, especially people that follow us, #PadresSH.
I was going to say, you got
Twitter,
no average fans watching this
that's,
show.
That's
These are your extraordinary fans.
That's correct.
You're talking to the upper crust of Padre geeks.
But, you've got Wood that comes into the game. He's a left-hander. Mm-hmm. And we've got one of the hottest guys that are swinging the bat in the lineup coming up. And he didn't hit that inning. And that disappointed me just because he's left-handed. But you look at the stats on Wood, and he is 100 points worse against left-handed hitters than he is right-handed hitters. So there were things done in that inning that I was against. And there are times throughout the year that we look at certain situations and you go, you know, how can they do it that way? I would have done it this way. Or I think it should have been done this way. And that was just a situation that I just –
you're going to have
I don't
those.
Think I ever would have said, I want Lexi in the game in that certain situation. But then, with him doing what he did and the statistics behind it, my geekness again.
Your fan graphics.
I'm leaving him in the game.
Well, Pat Murphy's been using a lot of Alexi Amarista. In fact,
sure
again,
he
tonight he's in the leadoff hole. He and Solarte sort of have that 1-2 thing going right now. They've been effective, and maybe in spite of statistics, at some points during this stretch, he's stuck with Alexi, and he's kind of being rewarded for it. Pat Murphy, I think, over the course of the last, you know, 4 or 5 games, whatever, because he is one of the guys, most games, at least in the last few days, who has been contributing. It's an interesting thing, managing a big league ball club. All right, we'll take a break.
Sure it is.
And when we come back, I'm going to try and chase down Ian Kennedy. Also got some questions and comments coming in on Twitter. We'll get to more of those as the show goes on. Just use the #PadresSH, upper crust of Padre geeks. That's who's watching. And I mean that as an ultimate compliment.
The upper crust.
The upper crust, the 1%, or whatever percent it is. But these are not your average. Nobody's like, yeah, I kind of like the Padres. I watch every couple, you know, weeks. No. If you're watching this show, you get it. You get it. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Take a break. When we come back, your Twitter questions and Ian Kennedy. This is Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United with Kurt Bavacqua. I'm Jesse Agler. Padres Hall of Fame weekend. Dick Enberg will be honored by the ball club before tonight's game. You can watch it live on Fox Sports San Diego. And that's why we're on a little bit earlier than usual today. Dick, of course, received the Ford C. Frick Award from the National Baseball Hall of Fame. And so he'll be honored coming up pregame today. And then tomorrow, Gary Templeton and Benito Santiago will be inducted into the Padre Hall of Fame. We'll have them on the show. And it should be another special, special night here at Petco Park. It's always fun to it's very easy, right, for us especially to kind of get into that grind of obsessing over every pitch, every inning, every game. And then you got to remember every once in a while, hey, this is bigger than just what's going on, you know, here today.
It is. It's a difficult thing to do, especially if you're really involved with everything that's going on and have as much passion as we do. I mean, it drives me crazy. It drives me crazier now than it used to as a player because I can't do anything about it.
That's it.
I can't go make
no
suggestions
control.
To other players. I can't go up to the manager and say I'm best used in certain situations, or if you use Bobby here, you're better off using Jimmy later.
What's the gutsiest thing you ever said to a manager where you were like maybe afterwards like, wow, I can't believe I actually said that to the guy?
I can't say that on television. It was Dick Williams.
Yeah.
And you know how much He lived up to his first name. And there was a time where he did that. He called me out.
Right.
And I jumped right back in his face.
In front of the rest of the club, or was this just the two of you?
It actually wasn't the club. It was the hotel lounge.
Got it.
And that was his domain at times.
Sure.
And as a player, you didn't go to where the manager or the coaches were. So I was on the other side and did not see him and a couple of the other coaches. But evidently he thought that I should have saw him.
Got it.
And I did not see him until I heard him.
By that point, maybe too late?
Oh, it was definitely too late. It was definitely too late.
Yeah.
But he called me out completely across the bar.
Got it.
And it's not dark. It's well lit. It was in Cincinnati.
Okay.
It was on the second or third floor of the hotel. So, not trying to hide.
Right.
Doing nothing wrong. Yeah. Just there. But yeah. It was at a time where we might not have been playing that well, and he was feeling his oats. And so, and I jumped back at him, I just did it.
Yeah.
And I said to myself when I got to the room, can't believe I just did that.
Interesting.
I played the next day.
I'm sure.
I knew I was worked up.
I'm sure a lot of guys have had a similar experience in that they're like, I can't believe I did that. Over the course of your career. Like, if you're going to play enough years, enough games, enough hot summer days, probably going to happen for most guys at some point, I would guess.
I don't think there's any doubt. And unless you take it to the extreme.
Sure.
I think there's a lot more situations where guys wouldn't look back at situations and say, I can't believe I didn't say something.
Water under the bridge, though, right?
Exactly.
Everybody just kind of moves on.
All right, exactly.
We got some good tweets coming in. Remember, if you want to join that conversation, you can use the hashtag PadresSH on Twitter. That's how we get your questions onto our screen. Expect Ian Kennedy to stop by at some point, talk to him about the new addition to the Kennedy clan, and also about pitching, of course. Marcus is up first on Twitter, and he goes, hey, last time the Padres had zero wills available for a game. How about that? That's a good question for Fryer Figures. He points it out. So Will Venable is on paternity leave right now. Congratulations to he and his wife, Catherine, welcoming their first child into the world. That's a good point, right? Over the course of this season, we've laughed so many times about the number of wills that were available on a given night. And, it's been a while since you haven't had a will available in the lineup.
A long time.
Quite some time.
You got to go back to before
not this
Venable
season.
Was here.
That's it. Because he's available most days, stays healthy, stays in the lineup. Yeah, no, that's a good question for Fryer Figures. I have the Will Myers, by the way, speaking of Wills, Will Myers update coming up in a little bit as well.
Good, I'm excited.
Got some new news about all that. All right, our buddy Cody is here. He's hanging out, enjoying the last few days of summer vacation. Cody says, should the Padres think about rebuilding the farm system? This is kind of an interesting one because I think a lot of people nationally when writing about the Padres in the last couple of weeks have been writing as if there is nothing there.
I know.
And that's not the case. That's not the case. So, Cody, I get why you may think this. Now, the answer of the question is yes. Every team is constantly looking to restock, replenish, re-up the farm system in every way imaginable, internationally, through the draft, through development, trades, whatever. They're always looking to stock, restock, add to the farm system. Always. But I don't know that the situation is all that much quote-unquote worse or different than it was at this time last year. There was this perception because of all the moves made in December that they just gave away everybody, and they gave away some players, or they traded away some players. They didn't give them away. They got stuff back. They're not trading away a bunch of all-stars here. Now, there are some guys, Trey Turner's the easy example, that look like they're going to go on and have some nice careers. I don't think the situation is vastly different than it was at this point last season in the minor leagues. That's my opinion.
Well, I certainly don't think it's dire either. So it's a situation where every major league club has a farm system that they continually, as you just said, try to build on. And it's a situation where some clubs are going to have a little bit more in their farm systems than others. Mm-hmm. And naturally, they're going to be in the media. They're going to be talked about. You're going to see them on ESPN's or Baseball America's top 100 list and all of that stuff. And you say to yourself, well, where are the Padres on this list? And there actually are. Some. They might not be one or two, But they're there. I mean, you look at a guy like Correa from Houston.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been number one on that list for the last couple of years. And the people in Houston who I talk to at times said that this is going to be the best young player you've seen come along in a long time when he gets there. And, boy, they were sure right.
Now, we're not sure the Padres have a guy like that. You know, but most teams don't.
That, right.
Most teams don't.
That's
so,
for sure.
And everybody's looking for a guy like that. And generally those guys are going to come – you know, at the very, very top of the draft. And that's part of the reason the Astros are able to have the success that they're having now is they had as many top picks as they did. They've done a great job developing talent, and we'll see. Travis Jankowski's a guy playing a pretty good center field right now in the minors for the Padres. Bill Center has sat on this couch and said he wouldn't be surprised if we see Jankowski at some point later on this season with the big league team. Alex Dickerson, nice year at AA and AAA, and he's here. You may have heard he's from Poway. And he's here today with the big league club, made his major league debut in Milwaukee yesterday. So there are guys down there, and we'll see how much they can contribute. But for me, and I've said this a bunch of times, the draft thing is hugely important. The development of the players you draft is beyond important. It's the biggest thing ever. And it's taking a guy who's not a first-round pick or not a top-10 pick or not a top-5 pick and developing him not just into a regular major leaguer, but a guy that can be the difference maker at this level. And that's a huge part of what A.J. Preller and his staff, Sam Gainey, the farm director, everybody is working on with the guys they inherited, with the guys they've recently added, you know, to the farm system, and it's what they'll be doing with the guys that are going to be added in the years ahead.
I don't know this for a fact, but I'd be willing to say and be willing to maybe venture a little wage on the fact that there's as many middle-of-the-road picks at the major league level as there are number one choices.
That's a great thing to look into. Kind of take the average guy in the major leagues. You take all the 25-man rosters. Maybe you separate position players and pitchers because I think there's some differences there. And you say among the position players, among pitchers, what's the average round a guy was drafted? And it would be an interesting thing to look at. Because you're going to have a lot of first-round guys. You're going to have a lot of second- and third-round guys.
What would you say
the average?
It is? Round-wise.
I'd say between 3 and 4, if I had to guess. I could be way off.
I'd say more like 15.
You think it's that high?
Or 20.
Yeah. It's a great question. It's a great question. Dave Parrick, where are you? Our unofficial show statistician. He's usually on top of these things. That might take a while to crunch those numbers, but that's a great question. It's a great question. And again, that goes back to that second D, as I always call it, development. It's draft and develop. Draft and develop. And you got to be able to do that. It's interesting.
That's where kids learn how to play, in the development stage of after the draft happens, bringing them into the minor league system, teaching them how to hit the cutoff man and not have errors that aren't charged errors and things like that.
Back to the cutoff man.
Exactly.
All right. We've got a couple of trades that went down today in this waiver trade period. We'll talk about those when we come back. Still trying to track down Ian Kennedy as well, but we'll take a break, come back. We'll talk about the trades and some of the roster moves around baseball today. A couple of big-ish names on the move, certainly around all of baseball. Baseball night in San Diego is back tomorrow night, Saturday night. All fans in attendance will receive either a Gary Templeton or Benito Santiago throwback replica jersey presented by Fox Sports San Diego. Catch the Padres and the Phillies at 5:40 and leave wearing the throwback brown and orange. Those guys will be inducted into the Padre Hall of Fame before the game tomorrow, and everybody in attendance gets either a Santiago or a Templeton jersey. We'll take a break, come back, talk about some of the moves around baseball and what this August trade period could bring. This is Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio at Petco Park.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to Petco Park. Game one between the Padres and the Phillies coming up. James Shields will be on the mound tonight against Aaron Nola, the young rookie. Cocktail Fest just getting underway out at the park at the park. One of the fun things to do on a Friday night if you are of age. Here in downtown San Diego, baseball at 7:10. That's Kurt Bavacqua. I'm Jesse Agler. Hope everybody's weekend is off to a good start. Had a couple of trades today around Major League Baseball, and I know somebody out there is thinking, but I thought the trade deadline had passed. And so Jellyman, our buddy, tweets in, and he goes, can you reassure everyone by re-explaining revocable waivers? This is a little bit different in the month of August. So the way it works is teams will routinely place players on waivers. And, in fact, there was a report a couple of days ago that both Shields and Kemp had been put on waivers by the Padres. It really means nothing.
It really doesn't.
It really means absolutely nothing. But anyway, teams put a guy on waivers, and then a couple of things can happen. 99% of the time, nothing happens and life goes on. Sometimes a team will put a claim in on one of those players. So another team. And then at that point, you can either dump the player on that other team or you can work out a trade with that team. And if you do neither of those things, you pull them back. And that's it. And nothing happens. And generally, you don't know who is on waivers. Sometimes it leaks out, but generally you don't. But a couple of times today, guys not only cleared waivers, but were also traded. The Braves and the Indians made a deal. Nick Swisher and Michael Bourne, along with some money, going to Atlanta from Cleveland, while Chris Johnson goes back to the Tribe. And that's one of those money deals. And then also today, the Rangers, who are really trying to make a push in the American League West, or at least with the American League wildcard, and we'll see the Rangers here not too long from now, a couple of weeks from now, they reacquire an old friend of theirs, Mike Napoli, the catcher, goes from the Red Sox to the Texas Rangers, probably a platoon-type situation for him. He hits lefties okay, but overall this year he hasn't hit much. But he goes back to Texas, a place that he's had some success, and the Rangers, I think, 5.5 back in the American League West, 2.5 out of a wild card spot, trying to add something and catch some lightning in a bottle here late in the season.
Well, at least for this year, it's a good thing for Mike, because
sure.
Boston's probably not going to do anything.
And, no, they're dead
Johnson,
last.
The guy that got traded, he was having a very good year where he was. So he's going to help out.
Yeah, so those are the moves that are made. But again, when you hear, a report that so-and-so or player X has been put on waivers, don't go crazy. You know, don't read too far into it. Don't concern yourself with, that means he's a goner. It's usually not the case. Now, we had our buddy Jesse Spector from the Sporting News on yesterday, and he had a proposal for Major League Baseball to get rid of this waiver system in August and to implement a system that's more like the posting system used for, like, when you're trying to get a guy from the Japan Baseball League. And you would post a player, and you would receive blind offers from several different teams who may or may not be interested, or if they were interested, they'd make an offer. And then the team could either accept one of those offers or pull the player back. So a little bit of a modification to that system would be fun. Would be a little more quick moving, a little less mysterious. But baseball loves mystery. They love these things.
You know, there's so many different things that can be looked at with changes that are – I mean, there's a lot of these things that have been implemented into the game for a long time. So you naturally have people that come along with I'm not even going to say better ideas, but different ideas.
Yeah.
To where, okay, if you could do it this way, like he suggested, it would make it more interesting. And you know what? It might. So I think baseball ought to sit back and take a look at a lot of different things, including when you miss the cutoff man.
Yeah, well, the fun thing, the fun thing I think right now is that you have a commissioner who appears to be very open-minded.
Absolutely.
About having these conversations, listening to these kinds of ideas, and don't underestimate the importance of that. It's a big deal, and I'm not saying he's going to make every change, but the guy is willing to listen. He's willing to have conversations about it, and I think that is nothing but outstanding for the game of baseball. Just totally outstanding.
I think it is, too.
Okay.
And I'm anxious to see how much he listens to Pete Rose.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know
either.
Yeah, I don't know about that
one.
But
he said he's willing to listen.
He did, and then more stuff came out about Pete, which makes it a little bit more difficult.
Even after that.
Yeah.
At the All-Star game.
Yeah.
He told people that he was willing to listen.
Yeah. I mean, hey, why not have the conversation with the guy?
Sure.
I mean, he's got more hits than anybody in history. Might as well listen to him. But
that's
I don't know
all.
That he's going to have much room to change. We'll see.
It's a shame.
Yeah. More Twitter. East Village Times. We were just talking about draft and development and getting the guys going in the minor league system. East Village Times says it's going to take time for the organization to develop a team philosophy. The farm system will take a few years to flourish. There's no doubt. You know, this new regime coming in the front office isn't just going to plop down before the 2015 season and say, it's all different now in the minor leagues. This is something that's going to take some time, you know, to really push through the entire system.
Well, I mean, it goes throughout the entire organizational structure with the thought process and how they want to run things on the field. And it's just not, okay, we're new ownership, we're coming in, we're taking all these coaches in our arms throughout the minor league system, and we're just going to let them coach the way they have. That's not necessarily the way it is. They want coaching to be different. They want the philosophy to be different, as he pointed out. And it will take some time to do that. And it's going to be an interesting time. I'm looking forward to it because of the philosophy of the front office here.
You know, when teams often go on dynastic runs, they have little dynasty runs, we often hear so much about their system and the way things are taught. You know, in the 90s, the Braves, it was a huge one. And obviously, Maddux and Glavin and Smoltz, they got three Hall of Famers at the top of their rotation, was a huge part of their success. But every young guy that came up, they said, oh, he knows how to play the way the Braves wanted to play. The Cardinals have a little bit of that going on. Even if you go back to the Dodgers and the original farm system, really, with that ball club, that's a big thing that people often talk about. And so I think every GM is trying to establish a blank way, a Padres way, a Brewers way, whatever it is, to really teach up and down the system. And when you have success, that's one of the things people always look at. All right, we'll take a break when we come back. I believe Ian Kennedy is going to be with us, which will be nice, get an opportunity to catch up with him. And you can also continue to send in your Twitter questions and comments using the hashtag PadresSH. Triple distilled, exceedingly smooth, and locally owned. Montalvo Tequila, where craft meets crowd. Take a break. Come back. More Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio right after this.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines with Kurt Bavacqua. I'm Jesse Agler. So we were going to have Ian Kennedy on. He was going to come by. He's going to chat. We're going to catch up on the baby and the baseball and everything else. Team meeting, though, ran a little long. And he could come, but we're not going to have time by the time he's able to come. So we're going to scratch it. So our apologies. Didn't mean to mislead anybody, but, hey, things happen. Meetings happen. And life goes on. First game of a series.
You never know when the skipper's going to call a meeting.
That's it. Ian Kennedy, we'll PPD that one. We'll postpone it, and we'll catch up with Ian at some point. But certainly no harm, no foul. And we appreciate him offering to hustle down here at the end of the show. Not worth it. Don't worry about it, man. We'll catch up with you at a later time. Let's talk about today's game. We mentioned James Shields will be on the hill against young Aaron Nola, and the Padres will line up as such against the young Philadelphia pitcher. The lineup, as always, is brought to you by United. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. We're off to a good start here because Blooper doesn't have two shortstops in the game as he did yesterday. Amarista Solarte 1-2, as has sort of been the thing as of late. Campanus Upton 3-4. Alonso batting fifth at first base. Jerko, Norris, Melvin Upton Jr., who homered yesterday, and James Shields. We've said this obviously a few times in the last week and a half or so, but we're definitely noticing a lot more consistency in parts of this lineup maybe recently than we have at any other point this season.
There's absolutely no doubt about it. I'm just wondering if Alexi is still the super utility man.
It's a funny thing, right? He's called the super utility man, and he's started like every game since.
Well, that's what super utility men do,
I guess. Pat Murphy said this week, he says, I feel for Clint Barmas. He said he went and talked to Clint Barmas, and he told Clint Barmas, you're getting a raw deal, which I thought was a very open thing for him to say to the media, aside from the fact that he went and had a conversation with him, which I think is awesome. But he said, yeah, I get it. It's kind of a raw deal for Clint Barmas, but, you know, these are the decisions I'm making right now.
That's one thing that I found in Pat Murphy, and if anybody doesn't see it, then they're blind, is that he just says what he's thinking.
Yes.
And I like that about him. He might say some things that shock you. He might say some things that confuse you. But you know what? It's what he's thinking at that particular time. And he's not trying to be politically correct.
No, he's not worried about filtering.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I really like that in a major league manager.
Hey, you're two peas in a pod.
For the most part.
Yeah, no, I mean, when it comes to that, that's your kind of guy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Straight shooter, you know, no worry about this or that, just going to say what you're thinking.
You have to. You really, I think you have to.
Well, the funny thing about being a big league manager or a head coach or the leader of business, whatever it is you got to juggle, right? You got to worry about, you know, the players. You got to worry about the front office. You got to worry about the media. You got to worry about the fans. And you have to sort of, you know, try and keep everybody in line. And it's not a simple thing to do. His approach, as you said, kind of seems to be, I'm just going to be direct. He is a guy, and he has said this, he's not all that concerned about confrontation. It doesn't bother him. He might enjoy it, for all we know. And that makes it a lot easier, I guess, than having to worry about, oh, how am I going to say this? He said he just went to Clint Barmas and said, hey, man, you're getting a raw deal. I just want you – I know that, but this is what's happening. It's interesting. It's very interesting to me.
It's kind of funny because he's not really getting a raw deal. He's just got a guy that's swinging the bat well. And as soon as he doesn't swing the bat well, which, you know what, it's just going to happen. It's a natural occurrence in the game of baseball where Clint Barmas is going to get – his just due, and he's going to get an opportunity to go out on the field mm-hmm. and perform. It was too bad at the time the way things worked out because Clint was swinging the bat really well.
Yeah.
When he was kind of taken out, the position was kind of won by Alexi for the time being. And that was the part that was too bad.
Yeah. It's a very interesting thing watching a lineup over the course of a season and sort of the way the whole deal works its way out. All right, so we've seen the starting lineup. We're going to do a little head-to-head challenge here tonight with you and the blooper. So the deal is you each get to choose a guy from the Padres starting lineup, and whoever of the two has the most impact on tonight's game is the winner. And you represent the couch, which is like you and Bill and Randy, whoever else. Blooper represents himself, which is unfortunate for him. Do we have standings? We got the updated standings, Blooper versus the couch, and it's been tight. I mean, it's kind of been back and forth, one into the other, and you guys, you got a one-point lead over Blooper right now, so you can put a little space between the couch and Blooper. Kurt, I'm going to give you the first pick today, right? Is that right? Yeah, Kurt is the first pick.
Did Blooper win yesterday?
No, I don't believe so.
And I get the first pick.
And you get the first pick.
Wow. I don't even know who's pitching for Philadelphia.
Nola.
No, that's right.
The
Nola.
Kid.
I'll take Shields.
Shields? a little hesitation there. Have some gusto with it. He's the ace, for goodness sakes. He's going to shut these guys down.
Because I was thinking about taking a hitter.
Right.
And.
Well, nobody's got any at-bats against him, so that's always a little bit different.
Right. And plus, you just, on a day-to-day basis, you just don't know who to pick on this team.
No, it's up and down. Yesterday was Melvin Upton, who would have been the best choice. All right, Blooper, who you got?
Upton.
Which Upton?
Justin Upton.
Oh, he wants both of them.
Yeah, no, he's trying to do a package deal. Upton and Mupton. I don't think so, sir. You get one Upton.
Justin.
He's taking Justin. He's acting like it was a dumb question. Melvin homered yesterday.
And singled.
I was trying for both of them. Yeah, tomorrow I could have said I had Upton.
All right, that's the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail. The cut, the lines, the hot towel finish. So you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, got some injury updates from Assistant General Manager Josh Stein. He passed those along before the game today, before batting practice today. We'll get you updated on Brandon Morrow, Will Myers, and some other guys as well. Padre Social Hour, presented by United.
We're back with more of San Diego's number one source for everything Padres. It's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
All right, welcome back to the AMR studio at Petco Park. Kurt Bavacqua is here. I'm Jesse Agler. Time for the AMR Injury Report. We got some news to pass along. Padres Assistant General Manager Josh Stein met with the media prior to batting practice today. And Brandon Morrow getting ready to meet with the doctor today, kind of decide if he's going to do the rehab route or the surgery route. If he does the rehab, slight chance, he said, or there's a chance he could return late this season, but if he did, it would probably be in a relief role. They don't think they can stretch him out to be a starter. But I would guess we don't see him. But there is an opportunity if he tries to rehab here instead of having the surgery for him to pitch again this year. Will Myers making good progress. They expect he'll be swinging the light bat again, hopefully by the end of this weekend. Corey Spangenberg took the day off yesterday with San Antonio, but back in the lineup tonight. Now a matter for him of getting comfortable, getting at-bats. No timetable, though, for his return to the big league club. That is the AMR Injury Report. American Medical Response is the emergency medical team for Petco Park and wants to remind you to stay safe, San Diego. To learn more about AMR, visit amr-sandiego.com. Got a break. When we come back, Kurt will tell us what he thinks of the historically high ground ball rate around baseball.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, Kurt Bavacqua, you are on the Cholula hot seat. The other day I gave you a homework assignment. I said the ground ball rate's about as high as they've been in recent memory around all of Major League Baseball to go along with the high strikeout rates. I want to know, what do you make of the high ground ball rates?
Well, I've come to the conclusion that, and this is just a personal opinion, that there's more and more pitchers throwing two-seam fastballs. Mm-hmm. And they're making the ball move. Two-seam fastball, for you out there that don't know exactly, but I know all of our people that watch us know exactly
upper crust
what we're talking about. It's almost like scuffing the ball. If you scuff the baseball, and this is a baseball, on this side of it, and you throw the baseball with the scuff on this side, it will go away from the scuff mark. So if it's scuffed here and you throw it, it's going to go this way. I can tell you three or four pitchers that scuffed the baseball up a lot throughout my career. And I can tell by the music that we're going to have to do this later, and it's going to be an interesting subject, so stay tuned.
Can't wait. Cholula hot sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap, proud partner of the San Diego Padres.